You'll recall, if you'll turn over to Exodus chapter 15, we're just going to read a couple of verses of that song, but you recall that God saved Israel from the Egyptians when he parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites walked across on dry ground, but when the Egyptians got into the middle, he released the Red Sea and they were drowned. Well, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1 says that Moses and the children of Israel sang a song. And so we have that record, the record of that song. And I just want to read verse 2 and 3, but it really goes down to about verse 18 or so. But it says, "The Lord is my strength," verse 2, "and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." And then he talks about how God delivered them from the Egyptians. So they were very happy. They were very excited about what God had done for them. And when we're happy, we often do, just around the house maybe, or when we're in the yard, we begin to break out in song. It may be that we are humming. It may be that we're whistling, but we've got some kind of song in our mind, and we're in a happy mood, and there's all kinds of sayings that we could look at that would talk about how important music is and songs, and we certainly know that music helps people that are not feeling well, and we know those types of studies that have been done. But we want to look at the fact that the Bible actually says in James chapter 5 and in verse 13, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." And so the Bible tells us that if you're happy, to sing psalms. And we'll talk more about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in just a moment. But we often do sing when we're happy. And the Bible gives us many reasons to sing unto God. Let me give you a few of the passages. And there are so many throughout the Scriptures. But in Psalm 13 and verse 6, it says, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Certainly a reason to sing would be because you're thankful. "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power," to sing about how mighty, how powerful God is. Psalm 47 and 6, "Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our King, sing praises." It's just this person, as you can see in the psalm, is just so happy to want to praise and to lift God up and to sing unto him. In Psalm 71 verse 23, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed." So here is why we often sing songs about redemption and how important that is to us. "My lips greatly rejoice." And so it's the idea of getting us fired up, if you would, to think about when we sing just exactly what we're doing. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation," Psalm 95 and verse 1. So certainly we would be singing and joyfully so because God is the rock of our salvation. Psalm 147 and verse 1, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful." So a lot of good thoughts that's found in that verse as well. So there's certainly a lot for you and I to be thankful about, to be happy about, and what we're thankful for and happy about can be expressed in our singing. And this lesson is going to be a personal lesson, in my singing, in my singing. When you turn over to Acts chapter 16, we have the story of when Paul and Silas came to the city of Philippi. And when they came to the city of Philippi, you'll remember that they went out to the river and they converted Lydia there, and she obeyed the gospel in her household. But then as they were about preaching in the city, there was a slave girl that had some kind of, some of your versions will say she was a fortune teller or some type of soothsayer or something of that nature. But there were those that were making a lot of money off of her, because of her telling of some sort of future, or maybe even as we have ones today that deceive people, and maybe they're just really good at reading people, and maybe they speak in general terms, and the person is handing over their money because they want to know about so-and-so, and they want to know about this, or they want to know about what do they think is going to happen. We certainly see, and I never did think to look at what kind of money is spent on that kind of interest, that kind of industry. You know, people who look at the stars to foretell their future or get something about them, or the Chinese fortune cookie to have. I got one the other day, and I was with Frank Ritchie and Alton Bailey, and I'd spent time having lunch with them, and we were talking, and I get mine when we're done, and it says, sometime you're going to have somebody say some wisdom to you. And I just looked at him and I said, well, I guess I didn't get any while I was sitting here at the table, because it's yet to come. So, you know, people use these things to really look to the future. And so here's this woman, and they're making a lot of money off of her. Well, she's following around Paul and Silas, and she's constantly saying about them that they are the servants of the Most High God, verse 17, proclaiming to the people the way of salvation. And at some point in time, it just became bothersome. And so Paul has this spirit pulled out of her. And what that did is that made those that were making money off of her very mad. And so that's when they're hauled off. And what happens is because they caused this major disruption, look at verse 23. It says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they were beaten because of what's going on, having pulled this spirit out of this woman, Paul. So they're thrown into prison, and the jailer is put in charge of them. Now, what would you do? This is a question for you. You know what they did, because I know you know. But what would you do? Think with me for just a moment. What would you do if you had just been beaten and you're thrown into prison? You probably, if you remember, I've told you I'm a grumbler and a complainer, and something I've had to deal with my whole life. I'd be like, I can't believe I'm in there. This is wrong. I should have been, that hurts. Wow, I can't believe they took, this is not just. This is not fair. When you read verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, that's incredible. What are they doing is they're singing. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you be singing? Would you find some type of joy in a situation like that? If your faith and trust in God, which we've been talking a lot about in the book of Ecclesiastes, would you not then, while in prison, be singing as well when you know that, one, you've suffered some kind of affliction for the cause of Christ, and that you are in there unjustly, and you're in there because you are telling them about the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ? If we look at this and have the right perspective, we may very well have been singing. So is there any wonder then, in my mind, why God would then tell us, there's no wonder in my mind, but that God would tell us, He would in fact command Christians, He would command disciples of Christ in the New Testament, under the new covenant of Christ, to sing, and to sing in our assembly together. He would tell us, you need to come together, and when you come together, a part of your worship to me is you're going to sing. Because God knows how important singing from our heart is. Not only to Him, but we're going to break this down, we're going to look at this. And of course, we can't do this without looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and Colossians 3, verse 16. Now, we're not going to go there yet, but that is our New Testament passages that deal with what we're talking about this morning. When we think about the assemblies here, the ones that we have here at the Tri-Cities, the amount of time that we spend in the hour of worship, you already know what we spend most of our time doing. Most of our time is spent listening to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. But what's the second thing that we do the most while we are gathered together? It's singing. we sing songs together. It's a very important part of our assembly. And so singing, as because it's an important part, let's spend some time talking about the singing of hymns in our assembly like we're doing this morning. So I titled the lesson, I Will Sing Unto the Lord. I Will Sing Unto the Lord. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn over there now, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 19. Again, this would not be a new passage to any of us. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so that is primary. When we sing, like we have done already this morning, when we sing, our primary direction is towards God, from my heart, from your heart. It is directed to God. And we cannot forget this. We must not forget this. If we forget this, you know what that means? That means I'm singing for myself, or I'm singing to the glory of myself, or to be pleased or praised, pleased with myself, or even praised by others. Wow, you're such a good singer. See, I've lost sight of what singing is about. And as we noted in the introductory passages, it is an expression, singing is an expression of thought or thoughts by the singer or the singers, and the thoughts that they're having about God. And so much of our singing is praises unto God, thinking about God. Now look at verse 20 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is told you sing songs together. It's an expression of the thoughts that you're having towards God. It is an expression of the thanksgiving for all the things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have all of this in mind as we think about thanksgiving. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16, just flip over to the letter to the church at Colossae. Very similar. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, in both you recognize that we're singing from our heart. But notice he says, singing with grace in your hearts. Well, a few weeks ago, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, I brought a lesson on the manifold grace of God. And what we did is we talked about God's grace. This is the same Greek word. And when we defined it as loving kindness or favor. And so when we think about this, we're talking about when we sing with grace in our heart unto the Lord, we're emphasizing again the loving kindness. You remember we talked about when we talk about God's grace, we're talking about His divine loving favor, His divine loving kindness. And so now our grace is directed towards Him. And that's kind of an interesting word because we don't really think about it that way. But what we're basically saying is when we take out the word divine, because I'm not divine, we're talking about we're singing with loving kindness and favor unto God. I'm singing to the Lord with high esteem unto Him, for Him, from my love for Him, from my admiration of Him. And so it's directed towards Him from my heart, and it is that which is my love, my favor, my adoration for Him. Verse 17 emphasizes again what Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Here he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So there again is this idea of thanksgiving. So when I sing, when you and I sing, we need to be reminded that the words we are singing are first and foremost, number one, sung to the Lord. When I sing, I am singing to the Lord. And number two is it is an expression of, make that personal, my love and thoughts for Him. My love and my thoughts. Now, we're commanded we do that together. But I am supposed to sing from my heart. And you are to sing from your heart. And there is certainly a lot of things for us to be thankful and joyous and rejoice about. Now, Hebrews 13 and verse 15 has an interesting way of talking about our singing. He says, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. The fruit of our lips. Singing would certainly qualify as the fruit that comes out of my heart and is produced as I sing unto God. And notice again, so much of singing is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And how blessed we are to serve the true and living God. Now, before we move on, I want to make some points. Here's some thoughts for our song leaders. I can't stress this enough. We have assembled to worship. We have assembled, and it is something that is, if we were to break it down into minutes, we spend the second amount of our time in singing. And so we need to give some thought to what we are doing. It's important for the song leaders to know that you are directing others' thoughts in songs that you have selected to worship God. That's going to be true this afternoon when we have a singing service. We are going to be singing songs to God. And so that is to be to keep in mind. We are worshiping Him. And so with that in mind, you literally are leading the worship. When you lead singing, you are literally leading the congregation in worship to Almighty God. That's what you are doing. And so you have to give careful thought to songs because you are leading the congregation in worship. And so you have to give thought. Is this song a song that would be upbeat? Is it written that way? And the only reason I say that is because when we all know that a song is talking about happy, you know, sing and be happy today, and we're singing it like we're at a funeral, something's wrong. That falls into the responsibility of the song leader who is leading us in worship. This is not something to be taken lightly. If we sing it too slow or too fast, all of it, let me say this to our song leaders too. We can pitch a song so high, we can pitch a song so low that none of us can sing it. It drags along, it hurts, we can't concentrate. If you pitch a song too low, by all means, stop the song after the first verse and say, let's try to raise that some. If you've gotten it too high, where everybody's like, when they get to the high note, they go, and nothing comes out, something is wrong. One time in the 30 years that I've been preaching, did I ever stop a song leader? It was a young man, epileptic, my age, about the IQ of a 12-year-old. He pitched everything so low when I moved there. It was horrible. It was hard. And it had gone on probably for years and years. And after being there for some time, I stopped and I said, could you raise that? And he goes, oh yeah, sure. And he did. And I thought, is that all you got to do? Is just tell him? We're talking about something serious. And so pitch matters. The person who wrote the song wrote it in a key where it can be sung. We're not we're not people that are professionally trained where we're singing every day, all the time. That's why sometimes a song leader can say, that high note is hard to hit. I'm going to drop it a little bit. But anytime you drop it, guess what? You can't drop it enough that now the bass can't hit the note. And so this is important. Now, we could just kick this all aside and say, God doesn't care about all that anyway. In some ways, you may be right. But when we cannot do some of the things that we're going to talk about still, we need to think about what we're talking about. And the third thing is songs with, you may sing some songs with a similar thing. You may put together some songs that are talking about heaven, maybe about God's care, maybe about obedience, maybe about faith, maybe about love. You have a lot of things that you can do as a song leader that would help in our worship. You remember, we're praising God, and we're to sing from our heart. We're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so there's some thoughts for us. Now, in Colossians 3 and verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Songs need to be scriptural. Sometimes we sing songs maybe that really don't have a lot of scriptural thought. Maybe they're conveying thoughts of men and not really thoughts about Christ. And so you have to, you know, the song needs to convey, as it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, singing, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, he says. So the song needs to convey teaching of Christ, not thoughts of men. It shouldn't be, and I know we're not guilty of this, but there are a lot of people who don't understand this, and I'm not saying that we don't, but secular songs do nothing but convey the thoughts of men. That's why, as we're going to note, spiritual songs, there's a qualifier there. So I've Been Working on the Railroad is not a song that we would sing in worship unto God. That is not teaching that we find in the doctrine of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, and in Colossians 3:16, he says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so I wanted to take out your song books. I wanted to make sure that, I think everybody knows this, but I want to make sure. So if you turn to the back in the general index of your song book, you've got one that's topical, and you've got the one that's after that, that is your general index. And if you go to the P's in that song book, you will find Psalm. You'll find it's listed Psalm 19, Psalm 24, Psalm 25, Psalm 51. You see that? All right, let's go to Psalm 51, which is on page 501. So when you go to 501, this is the actual psalm. It would be literally singing a scriptural psalm. It's David's psalm when he is repenting and sorrowful for the sin he has committed with Bathsheba and killing Uriah. And someone took that and said, hey, you know what? We can make this work with the tune of Rock of Ages. So, God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea, in thy vast abounding grace. Now, again, some of that there's going to have to be a little bit of change to make it flow. But for the most part, you're going to find that's the thoughts of Psalm 51. And those others are the same way. That doesn't mean I say it. I'm just telling you that sing psalms. That's exactly what he's talking about. The psalms were psalms that they sang. Maybe some were psalms of ascent where they sang them on the way to the temple. You'll see those notes in some of the psalms. But that's most of the quotes that I gave you at the start was out of psalms. I will sing, I will sing, I'm going to sing. So again, just to show you. So they're there to know that you can actually sing a psalm. a song we may sing may be a hymn. Now, there's not a lot of difference between a psalm and a hymn. Perhaps maybe a small difference would be a hymn is more of a song of praise to God. Like number 21, praise the Lord, ye heavens adore him. Psalm, that's Psalm 21. Maybe, and then he says you need to sing spiritual songs. And so Paul again qualifies what's to be sung as spiritual. And he's doing that to make a distinction between what we would call secular or a worldly song. I've been working on the railroad. Or Yankee Doodle, Dandy, or something of that nature. Bingo was his name-o. Those are secular songs. So he puts that qualifier. He doesn't say, just sing a song. He says, a spiritual song. And so we spend a lot of time in our singing. And here's a part as we're coming to an end here. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, so we sing songs unto the Lord. But when we're singing in our worship, we're also teaching and admonishing one another. And we've come back to a song leader leading a few songs together that teach a thought. That can be very powerful. Where today we're going to sing songs about God's love. We're going to sing songs about redemption. And so in the back of your book, there is a topical index that when you go back there, you'll see where they group songs of love, songs of praise, songs around the Lord's Supper. And I think most of the men who lead singing, of course, know this. But that's why that's there, to help in that song selection. So when we sing and worship, we're also teaching one another. So when you come to the assembly, like you have come today, did you come ready to be taught in our songs? Did you come to learn in our songs? For example, Psalm 112, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. You're teaching others when you sing. Now, you are teaching no one when you do not sing. You are admonishing no one when you do not sing. When you come to this assembly, you need to be ready to be taught. You need to be ready to teach, because that's what you're doing when you're singing. You're teaching others. Now, God does not ask us to sing well. He commands us to sing from our heart, to praise Him, to teach myself and others. He does not say, do it well. He says, open up your mouth and sing from your heart. Because you're praising Him and you're teaching not only yourself with what you're singing, but you're teaching others. Because here's what songs teach us. There are also songs that they're warning us. Are you ready for that day to come? Or we're singing songs of caution. Love one another. Angry words, oh, let them never. From the tongue unbridled slip. Why are we singing that? I'm teaching you, you're teaching me. Songs of warning, songs of caution. And so as we think about this, we spend a lot of time singing. And God who made us knows exactly why He has commanded us to do so. Because we may be singing because, we're happy. Sing to me of heaven, Sing the song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Do you sing that? Do you lead that? See, again, how do we lead that? Sing to me, or solo, sing to me of heaven. We can't sing it. That's not right. We're worshiping God. We're happy. It should be sung that way. It is to stir our emotions. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God. That'll bring you to tears when we think about what we're singing about. It humbles us. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. Mold me. Make me. After thy will, while I'm waiting, yielded and still. You see what I'm singing? That's humbling. That goes back to Ecclesiastes. Who's the potter? Who's the clay? And I'm acknowledging that. And I'm teaching you that. And you're teaching me that. Because Paul says that's what you do. And he did that by inspiration because God said, when you come together, you need to sing. And singing can challenge us. What will your answer be? Let each of us sing as God has directed us in His Word. If you're not a Christian, we're going to sing a song of invitation for you to respond to the call of Jesus to come to Him and wash your sins away. Tommy has selected number 309. And we're going to sing that song, and we hope that you'll come and you'll give an answer to that question. What is your answer going to be? Will you respond to the gospel call of Jesus Christ and wash your sins away? How many of you remember the song that was sung when you obeyed the gospel? Some of you may remember it very well and what that song means to you now. Singing is intended to cause us to think. And if you're a Christian and there's things that are wrong in your life, can we challenge you to think about your life as well? We're going to stand and sing this song, and we invite you to come.